Sri Mata.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for giving us your valuable time and association, and thank you for choosing such a wonderful topic. So today we have good fortune of having Her Grace Preeti Vilasini Mataji with us, and she will be speaking on Golok Chart, and it will be seminar number 1. Mataji, please take over the call. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Dandavat pranams to everyone on the call. Very, very fortunate today to have all of you on the call. And we will be discussing the Golok Chart seminar. So actually this seminar topic was chosen by Her Grace Kirtidasundari Mataji. Mataji had requested if we could do a seminar on the Golok Chart. So we will attempt to do the seminar on this conference. So we'll start off with a prayer. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Parchayati Vishatarini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Kirim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam. Hare Krishna. So we'll try to do this seminar in about 4 to 5 parts, and the whole session, the 4 or 5 parts that we will be doing, will actually be an adaptation of the seminar given by His Grace Gokul Chandra Prabhu from Mayapur. His video is available online on YouTube. So in case you want to refer, you can refer this video as well. And I hope you all have a copy of the Goloka chart that has been sent on WhatsApp. Or even if you have a chart in your home, you can refer to that chart by looking at it. Because as we talk, we will need a reference. We'll have to see a picture. And besides that, I also have a very crude PowerPoint presentation in slides, which I will be broadcasting with screen sharing on our free conference website. So all that you need to do is you need to click on the link, the free conference link that is being sent every day. I've also put it again on WhatsApp. So if you click on that, you can actually see the slides. The slides will actually help you focus on the portion that I'm talking about. But if you think this is all too much, you don't want to get so techie and, you know, try to do all this, it's okay. All that you need to do is just have open up the picture that I've sent you on WhatsApp. Just open it up and refer to the chart as and when I speak. And in case you're not able to follow at any point, you don't know where I'm speaking from or which part of the chart I'm focusing, just feel free to stop me. It's okay. You can unmute yourself, ask the question, and then mute again so that we can, you know, it can be a little interactive, because this gets difficult to follow. If you are all in person, we can just do, you know, something on the projector and we can show you focusing different points of the chart. But since this is like a remote conference, it becomes a little difficult. So don't worry. Either you can follow the presentation on the screen sharing, or you can just look at the chart that you have displayed in your house, or you can just open up the picture and I will tell you exactly where to focus and you can see that. So I understand that some of you have already have some basic ideas about Goloka chart. So we are just learning together. So I just try to elaborate a few points and feel free to correct me if there is something going wrong. Okay. So what we will do is that we will start off today with part one. And part one will be focusing on the pink colored lotus that you see on the topmost portion of the chart. Okay, so if you see the Goloka chart, you must all be having a general idea of the Goloka chart, how it looks. So basically, there is a top lotus, which is pink in color. Then there is this blue colored lotus, which focuses on Vaikuntha Dham. And then there is the material world. So if you see the chart, 3/4 of the chart will be these two lotuses, the pink lotus, which is Goloka Dham, and the blue lotus, which is Vaikuntha Dham. And below that, just 1/4 is actually the material universe or the material creation. So today, our focus will be on the pink lotus, which is actually Goloka Vrindavan. So if you have any Zoom facility, you may want to focus on that pink lotus. That is where we're going to focus today. I don't think we'll have time to move ahead from there. So we'll try to do what is there actually in Goloka Vrindavan as much as possible as it is depicted on the chart. Okay, so if you have pictures, you may want to zoom it to the pink lotus. If you're following me on screen share, just hold on because I haven't started moving the slides. And if you have the chart in your house, just look at the pink lotus. Okay, so one may ask, why should we actually understand the Goloka chart? Where is the need, right? Where is the need to understand the Goloka chart? So the idea is that the Goloka chart was a great effort by many devotees to put together how the spiritual world looks like and how the material world looks like using several references, like using references from Brahma Samhita, Laghu Bhagavatamrita, and Chaitanya Charitamrita, and so many other places, different Puranas, like the Padma Purana and the Brahma Vaivartaka Purana, like the different Puranas. Everything was put together for us to understand what is explained about the material world and the spiritual world. So, Krishna and his energies are non-different. Krishna and his holy name is non-different. Similarly, Krishna and all his energies are also non-different from him. So, he has his internal energy, he also has his external energy. So by understanding how the scriptures have described both the spiritual world and the entire material manifestation, it will help us strengthen our faith. We'll know where we stand, we'll know where the spiritual world is, we know what is our goal, we know what we need to work around. And not only does it strengthen our faith, but we can also further understand the aspect of Sambandha Gyan, that is understanding who we are and what our relationship with the Lord is. All this will fall into place when we get a better understanding of this entire manifestation, which is actually Krishna's internal and external energy. Okay, so you know, this is also the reason why we study the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's actually very complicated. It has all these material realms and it is so complex. In fact, even in the fifth canto, it is mentioned it's very difficult. Shukadeva Goswami says, very difficult to understand everything perfectly, but we can make a small attempt to see where we stand, to understand who we are and how insignificant we are and how great Krishna is and how his energies work. Okay? So, what we'll do now is, we'll start off with the first few slides, which I will start. Before I start the slides, as I mentioned in the beginning of the class, I want to really give credits to Gokul Chandra Prabhu, who has done the seminar, who has actually been a part of making the chart, that is, coming up with the chart. So I believe there were Bhaktivikas Swami Maharaj's disciples who helped to bring about this chart that is sold by ISKCON Salem. You can buy this chart, many people might already have it. And he has also made a small seminar on this particular chart that is available on YouTube. He did the seminar in Mayapur. So I want to first give credits to him. I'll be using his material because he was also one of the people who actually designed the chart. So we'll start from there. Now, if you look at the Goloka chart,
Hare Krishna, yes. Preeti Vilas,
yes.
Quickly. Sorry. Where did you say the PowerPoint is? You haven't started. Is that what you said, or how do we get to that?
Oh, the PowerPoint. You can get to the PowerPoint by clicking on the link that I have given.
And it takes me to the Bhakti Sangha Japa Group page. Yeah?
Yes, it takes you to the Bhakti Sangha Japa Group page, and I don't know why my PowerPoint is stuck now. It's not loading, but anyway.
Okay. So that's okay. Yeah. So I'm on the right page. That's okay. So if it comes up, it comes up. As long as I know I'm on the right page, that's fine. No problem. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So I can even WhatsApp the PPT so that it's easier because my computer is now not moving. When it comes to the PowerPoint, it's not opening up properly.
That would be better if you can just WhatsApp.
It's already started moving, but I will also WhatsApp it so that, as you said, it's easier to follow. So what I'll do is I'll WhatsApp, and you can also check the PowerPoint for yourself. See, the PowerPoint is just zooming different parts of the Goloka chart. So as and when I'm talking, I'll tell you which part to focus, and it will become easy for you.
Oh, okay. Got it.
PPT, yeah. It's a very crude presentation, but it will just help you see where we stand, where we are moving. Okay? So I sent it on WhatsApp. I love the insurance already started working. Okay. So there are three sections of this entire chart, as I mentioned. One is the pink lotus, which is the Goloka Vrindavan. You have the central portion. I won't even call it central portion. It's slightly below the pink lotus, which is the Vaikuntha Dham, which is denoted by a blue lotus. And just below the blue lotus, you will see the Viraja River. The Viraja River marks the separation between the material and the spiritual worlds. There you will also see Mahavishnu or Karanodakashayi Vishnu lying down in the causal ocean or the Viraja Nadi or whatever you call it. He will be lying there. You will also see the impersonal Brahman effulgence, where there is Shambhu and others, just above it. You will see an effulgence, which is again the Brahma Jyoti, and then you will see the material world. So this is an overall picture of the entire Goloka chart that I'm talking about. We are not going to focus on every part. We are just focusing on the top part today. Okay? Now, so Krishna and his abode, they actually exist. One can go there. One can go to Goloka Vrindavan. One can reach him and one can associate with him. So this is there in our scriptures and it is a fact. So spiritual life means to be in association with the Supreme Lord and to exist in bliss and knowledge eternally. So such association means to play, to dance and to love Krishna. Krishna can even become your child or Krishna can be anything you like for you. This is from Science of Self-Realization, what Prabhupada says. So Prabhupada, in that particular sentence in Science of Self-Realization, he says that Krishna's abode is there and it is 100% fact. And it is accessible. We can all go there. We can go and play with him. We can be with him. He can be your child. He can be, anything, like your master. He can be anything. You can have different relationships with him. So all this is there in the spiritual world. And then what is the need to know the spiritual world? Why do we, by knowing the spiritual world, what do we get? The more we know about Krishna and his opulences and his potencies, the more and more and more we become attracted to him. So the more we know about a person, the more loving we become towards that person. So therefore, we should know ultimately where we are going, and there is no difference between Krishna and Krishna's abode. And we all know this verse, Aradhyo Bhagavan, Rajesha Taniyas, Taddama Vrindavanam. So that Vrindavan is actually the supreme abode. Now, Krishna, not only does he live in Goloka Vrindavan, but also he lives, for our sake, he also comes down to this material world. And this material world has a Bhauma Vrindavan. It is also called as Gokula. Okay? So for our reference, when we say Gokul, we'll say it is the Vrindavan Dham that we see on this earthly planet. And when we say Goloka Vrindavan, we mean that faraway planet in the spiritual sky. Okay, that is only for reference sake. But technically, Gokul and Goloka are non-different from each other. Brahma Samhita 5.37 says, Goloka eva nivasati akhilatma bhuta. That means the supreme personality of Godhead is Krishna, and where does he stay? He's always situated in Goloka Vrindavan. And this Krishna never takes a step away from Vrindavan. This is also mentioned. But still, Krishna is also situated in an abode in this material world. Not only is he situated in Bhauma Vrindavan, Krishna and his energies are spread everywhere. Be it any corner of the material world or any corner of the spiritual world, you will see different plenary portions of Krishna. Krishna himself expanding from his supreme abode, which is Goloka Vrindavan, to different places. And that is pretty much the Goloka chart. So the Goloka chart is all about Krishna. It's all about Krishna, about his expansion, and how that supreme abode, that pink lotus, that Goloka Vrindavan itself expands into different places as Vaikuntha, then it expands as the material world, and almost it goes to every nook and corner of the material world, and Krishna himself also expands like that. So we begin from the source where he exists. So that is the supreme abode, and from there all other spiritual and material abodes expand. Now, when we talk about Goloka Vrindavan, maybe before coming to Krishna consciousness, or before we had read Prabhupada's books, we wouldn't have heard much about the term Goloka Vrindavan. And even besides people in our sampradaya or close to our sampradaya, if you go away from, probably certain parts of India, people might have not even heard of the term Goloka Vrindavan. All the people know is Vaikuntha, right? So where is this Goloka Vrindavan coming from? Do we have any Pramana? Is everything based out of Brahma Samhita? So this is one particular accusation that is being made. You cannot state something based on just one Pramana from Shastra. So for everything, we pick Brahma Samhita and we say, oh, it is said in Brahma Samhita that there is Goloka Vrindavan, and that's what I'm trying to tell you. But then you will face a position saying that you cannot just give one Pramana. But however, our acharyas have done a lot of work, and they are very clear about what they are presenting to us. And it is not that they are basing this entire philosophy on just one particular Pramana or from one particular text called as Brahma Samhita. Of course, our focus is Brahma Samhita, but that's not the only text that is in use. There are so many other places from which acharyas like Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura, and so many other acharyas have picked references for the existence of this planet called as Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world. So the quotes given by Jiva Goswami are from Rig Veda, several Shruti Shastras, Mahabharata, Brahma Vaivarta Purana, Skanda Purana, and Padma Purana. From all these places, Jiva Goswami has picked references for the existence of this spiritual world called as Goloka Vrindavan. And not only has Jiva Goswami given these references, someone has also seen Goloka Vrindavan. So who is it who has seen the Goloka Vrindavan? The one who has seen Goloka Vrindavan was Lord Brahma himself, right? Because the entire Brahma Samhita prayers come from what Brahma had seen. He saw Goloka Vrindavan, and he's trying to give us the experience of what Goloka Vrindavan looks like. So Brahma had direct perception of Goloka Vrindavan, and this is called as Vaidushya Pramana. Just like how we have Shabda Pramana, we have Pratyaksha Pramana, Anumana Pramana. These are all different kinds of Pramana or methods of acquiring knowledge. But Brahma directly saw Goloka Vrindavan in his meditation. So he gave us the complete details, as much as we can conceive, he has given us some details about Goloka Vrindavan. So he had a direct perception, and he began singing the Chintamani prayers that is seen in the Brahma Samhita. So that's how we have developed this idea of understanding how that pink lotus looks like. So where are all these descriptions coming from? It is coming technically from Brahma Samhita, but one must not think that Brahma Samhita is the only source for us to understand Goloka Vrindavan. There are other sources as well, but our focus is Brahma Samhita because Brahma has directly seen Goloka Vrindavan. So now we will enter the meditation of Brahma and see how he saw Goloka Vrindavan. That is what we are going to see now. Focus on the pink lotus. Okay. Now, famous words from Brahma Samhita. Chintamani prakara sadmashu kalpa vriksha. So in that verse, the translation goes, I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is the first progenitor, who is tending cows, yielding all desire in abodes built with spiritual gems, surrounded by millions of purpose trees, always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of Lakshmis or gopis. So, we will see what this verse is talking about and what how Goloka Vrindavan
excuse
is actually
me,
described.
Mataji, excuse me one second. Hare Krishna Mataji, Prabhuji, can everybody please make sure your phones are on mute? Please, everybody, check your phones once. Please make sure your phones are on mute. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mataji. So in this particular verse, Chintamani Prakara Sadmashu Kalpa Vriksha, that is text 29 of Brahma Samhita, we see what Brahma is seeing and how what kind of vision of the spiritual world he is getting. So although if you see this verse begins with Chintamani Prakara Sadmashu Kalpa Vriksha, that's how that Sanskrit begins, right? But whereas you see the translation of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he says that Krishna, when he translates, he gives focus. He says, I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who's tending cows. He gives preference to cows. He doesn't say this Goloka Vrindavan is made of spiritual, Chintamani. He doesn't talk about Chintamani when he translates it. Just see the way Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati translates this verse. He says, I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor, who's tending cows. That is focus. That is, so we can understand how our acharyas are telling us that the focus of Goloka Vrindavan is the cows. The cows are the most important in Goloka Vrindavan. Chintamani and all is there. Yes, Chintamani is there. Desire, yielding trees, all that is there. But the actual focus is Gokula, right? Goloka. Go means cows. So your focus is actually the cows. So Krishna is Govinda. He's the Lord of the cows. And his first focus there is actually taking care of the cows. So we all know the story of how dear these cows are to Krishna. In fact, Mother Yashoda, she wanted to give Krishna a shoe
Hello?
To go when he wanted to tend cows. So this is
Hello?
Something that he wanted. Hare Krishna. Okay, you can. Haribo? Okay. So here for us, the focus is the cows. The cows are very important. We know the story of how Krishna, when he was taking up his family dharma of herding cows, it was a very joyous occasion. And Yashoda gave him so many gifts. And Yashoda wanted to give him nice ethnic shoes that he could wear to go and tend cows. She wanted to give him umbrella and all that, all those gifts. But Krishna said, I will not take these shoes. I will not wear shoes when I'm going in Vrindavan unless you give 4 shoes for each calf and each cow and each servant for each cow holding umbrella. So unless you do this, I'm not going to accept shoes. So that is the love Krishna has for the cows and the calves. And Krishna at that time, he said, Dharmo Rakshati Rakshitaha. That means, one who protects the dharma is protected by it. It is a self-sustaining process. So if we hold up dharma, that dharma will uphold us. And cows are our dharma. Krishna was saying, the cow is the dharma. And what if you give me something that is better than what you're giving these cows, then it is not good. So that much love he had for these cows. And these cows are so special in the spiritual world that each of these cows are Surabhi cows. And they give oceans and oceans and oceans of milk. Practically, they can give you anything. And in fact, in many places, this place is even described as Shweta Dvipa. Especially Navadvip is described as Shweta Dvipa, but sometimes even Gokul or Goloka is also described as Shweta Dvipa, meaning it is surrounded by an ocean of milk. And where is the milk coming from? It is coming from these cows that are giving unlimited supply of milk. Now, if one can trace back to our old memories, sometimes even within this material world, the abode of Shirodakshayi Vishnu on Shir Sagar, that is also called a Shvetadvip because there also there is ocean of milk, right? So Shvetadvip is seen in different places. But here, you can see Shwetadweep is actually Shwetadweep because of the milk that is coming from these unlimited cows that are giving unlimited milk. And there is so much description about the cows of Vrindavan, about Goloka Vrindavan and Gokul Vrindavan, how in Gokul Vrindavan, Krishna had more than 900,000 cows. And you know, Krishna would personally know each and every cow. If any cow was missing, Krishna would chase after that missing cow and call her personally by the name. And sometimes he would go on the Vamshiva tree and he would play the flute. And hearing the notes of Krishna's flute, the cows would understand that Krishna is calling her personally by the name, and she would go running. Krishna also had a japamala with 108 pearl beads, and he would go through and he would run his fingers through the japamala to check if all the cows have come. So these cows, they were divided into different herds based on color. There was a black color set of cows, white, yellow, red, like that, different colors. And then in each color, there were further 25 divisions, and a total of 100 cows, herds of cows were there. Not 100 cows, but 100 herds of cows were there. So like this, Krishna would maintain all the cows, and all the cows were the heart and are the heart and soul of Lord Sri Krishna. So this is about the cows. Now, in this verse, it also talks about Chintamani. That's how the verse begins, right? So, Chintamani. So, here, Chintamani gem, the entire land of Goloka Vrindavan is actually made of Chintamani. Chintamani is that gem that yields all desire. Now, imagine one little gem. If you get one Chintamani gem, it will give you all desires. But in Goloka Vrindavan, the entire land is Chintamani. Everything is Chintamani. Okay? In this material world, when we say touchstone, we use this term called as touchstone in English. Touchstone means if you touch that to an iron piece will become gold. If you touch that to dust, dust will become gold. That is called as a touchstone. Okay? So basically, you're trying to get, if you touch the touchstone to anything, that material becomes gold. We have seen in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is the story of how Sanatan Goswami, he found a touchstone. So, if you get the touchstone and you touch it to gold, touch it to iron, it would become gold. This kind of touchstone, Sanatan Goswami had acquired. He got this touchstone. And one Shaivite came to know that Sanatan Goswami had a touchstone, and he went and asked Sanatan Goswami for this touchstone. But Sanatan Goswami, he pointed out to a heap of rubbish pile and he was saying, oh, it'll be fallen somewhere there, just go take it and then you can use it. He just gave it away like that because he was not interested in that touchstone. And at that time, this Shaivite was very confused as to why Sanatan Goswami didn't care about this touchstone. And he asked him if he had something more precious than a touchstone, and Sanatan Goswami gave him the holy names of Krishna, which is much more precious than the touchstone of the material world. In fact, to create gold, some yogis, they go through several yogic processes, and they consume mercury, physically consume mercury, and the yogi sleeps overnight, and the next day morning he urinates on a piece of iron, and that can turn into gold. So like this, there are some yogic methods of preparing gold also, converting iron to gold. So all these things are there, okay? But imagine the spiritual world, the entire dust, the floor, everything is Chintamani. Everything is Chintamani. Everything is wish-fulfilling. But the residents of Goloka Vrindavan, they really don't care about this. It is there everywhere. It is said that these residents, in Rajarithi Chintamani, it is said, which is by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that these gopis, they don't care for Chintamani. They're just keeping Chintamani as a door stopper. That's how they use Chintamani. Why do they need a door stopper? Because their focus is when Krishna comes back from tending cows, they want to catch a glimpse of him. So they want to keep their doors open, and they just find the Chintamani on the road, and then they take it and they put it as a door stopper. And sometimes to make slippers, you know, this the toe separator that you have in slippers, you have this separator that comes between your big toe and the other fingers. So that is called the toe separator of the slippers. So what these gopis do, they use Chintamani as toe separators. That's all. They don't care for all this. It's there in abundance, but they really don't care. Oh, Chintamani is so precious. No. All that they are worried about is love for Krishna. When they can see Krishna, how they can associate with Krishna. So that is the beauty of Goloka Vrindavan. In fact, the entire dust of Raja is actually Chintamani. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he also writes that Vraja, in some places it is made of camphor dust, some places saffron dust, some places it is made of ground musk, some places aromatic substances. And everything, everywhere, you will find precious gems, you will find Chintamani just strewn around everywhere. So that is the beauty of Goloka Vrindavan. So we saw Chintamani, we saw the cows, and then we also, if you go to Goloka Vrindavan, every tree is Kalpa Vriksha tree. Kalpa Vriksha means desire fulfilling. So anything you ask the tree, if you're asking samosas, it will give you samosas. You want chum chum, it will give you chum chum. Anything you want, anything you like, gulab jamun, rasagulla, whatever you want, ask the Kalpa Vriksha tree. And the Kalpa Vriksha tree will not only give you fruit, but it will also give you anything you desire. So that is what Kalpa Vriksha means. It just can give you anything. And the entire Goloka Vrindavan is filled with such beautiful Kalpa Vriksha trees. And it is also mentioned that there is one particular Kalpa Vriksha tree, center Kalpa Vriksha tree, from which all these other Kalpa Vrikshas come. Now, that is where we are going to get at. That is the central focus of the Goloka Vrindavan Dham. That is the central whirl of the lotus. So next, slowly, we'll begin to move towards the petals and we'll see every distinct part of Goloka Vrindavan. Okay? So this entire thing in this verse, 529 of Brahma Samhita, is nothing but the revelation that Brahma had in his meditation. He saw it directly. He saw all this directly and he's telling all of us, this is Chintamani Dham. This is what Goloka Vrindavan looks like. This is what is seen inside Goloka Vrindavan. I'll quote another verse from Brahma Samhita and then we'll start focusing on the petals and we'll see what is there inside Goloka Dham. Okay? So, Brahma Samhita verse 5-2. Sahasrapatra Kamalam Gokulakya Mahatpadam. Supreme Abode. It is Mahatpadam. Tat Karanikaram Tad Dhamma Tad Anantamsha Sambhavam. So the translation of this verse is, the super excellent station of Krishna, which is known as Gokul, has thousands of petals and a karula like that of a lotus sprouted from a part of his infinitary aspect, the whirl of the leaves being the actual abode of Krishna. Now this is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj's translation, so obviously it's very high level English. But anyway, so the point here is that this pink lotus that we are focusing on right now is actually Goloka Vrindavan, and it has got thousands and thousands of petals. Now, in a chart like this, you cannot put thousands and thousands of petals. So we just see a few petals that is being put, and when even in the verse, when it says thousands, that means it means thousands and thousands and thousands. It's unlimited. It is not that there are only 1,000 petals in that lotus. Okay, it is only for our understanding. Just like we say, Sahasra Sirisha Purusha Sahasraksha Sahasrapath in the Purusha Suktam. So it doesn't mean that the Lord has only 1,000 legs and 1,000 arms. No, it is unlimited. He just expands everywhere. The spiritual world is unlimited. For our limited understanding, it is very difficult for us to conceive what unlimited means, but you have to understand that it is actually unlimited. So in the chart, they have put a few petals and they have shown this Goloka Vrindavan. Now, when you see these petals, this pink color petals, in the center of this lotus, you can see a whirl, okay, the yellow portion. That is the center. So that is the actual abode of Krishna is what is being described. So you can see these different plenty of petals, and this entire Goloka Vrindavan is actually a conscious planet. So the floor is conscious, the dust is conscious, the trees are conscious, everything is conscious. Even insentient things are actually conscious in the spiritual world. Now what happens is there are so many petals, and we said that entire Goloka Vrindavan is unlimited dham. And when we see the extension of Goloka Vrindavan in Bhauma Vrindavan, which is also known as Gokul or Vrindavan Dham, when we go on Yatra, when we go to Vrindavan Dham for Yatra, we see actually Vrindavan is kind of a little big if you look at it. Like for example, if you have to go from Govardhan to Nandagram, or you want to go to Mahavan, or you want to go to Radhakund. See, when you travel, generally what we do is, other than people who go on Parikrama, we generally take a bus and we go from one place to other. Because there is, it's quite actually, even Gokul Vrindavan is quite big. You know, traversing becomes a problem. Similarly, in Goloka Vrindavan also, the space is actually very, very, very big. But what happens is that since the entire dham is conscious, and it is in the form of a lotus, it closes and opens for Krishna's easy movement. So wherever Krishna goes for his easy commute, and even if he has to travel long distances, the petals open and close so that Krishna can just take two steps and he'll be in the place where he desires to be. He wants to go from Govardhan to Nandagram, just a few steps and he'll be in Nandagram, like that. So the dham closes and opens like the lotus petals, okay, for his movement. So if you see the periphery of each petal or the filaments of these petals, actually they help. They are like roadways, okay? So this is not something very gross. You should not imagine that Goloka Dham is actually Krishna is jumping on a lotus or something like that. Don't think like that. It's for us to understand that how the dham can actually help Krishna move about. Okay, so don't think Krishna is jumping on the lotus there. So anyway, Krishna, whenever he wants to move, the petals actually close and they open, and the entire dham is so conscious that it helps Krishna to move around. And this entire dham, it is maintained by, what does the verse say? It says Anantamsha Sambhavam. This entire dham is actually maintained by Ananta or Shankarsana or Lord Balaram. And Lord Balaram is actually the Lord of the Sandini potency. So he maintains this entire dham by his energy. And Balaram is, of course, an expansion of Lord Sri Krishna. So that's how this entire dham is maintained. And this Gokul Vrindavan of this material world is non-different from Goloka Vrindavan. Tamal Krishna Maharaj often talks about, he gives this example of this consulate. In India, if you want to come to the U.S., you have to go to the U.S. consulate. Now, in the U.S. consulate, everything inside the consulate will be like as if it is all in the U.S., you know, like the water bottles or whatever they have, it will be imported from USA. So everything is like USA, USA. So like that, this Gokul Vrindavan is actually a satellite of the Goloka Vrindavan. And it is non-different. One must not think that Gokul is different from Goloka Vrindavan. Okay, it is exactly the same. In fact, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there is this Gopakumara who goes up and down. He goes to Goloka Vrindavan and he sees Gokul Vrindavan. And he says, actually, there is no difference. Both of them are the same. There's absolutely no difference between the two. Okay. So Gokul and Goloka are non-different. And sometimes you may come across another place called as Goloka, which is actually a planet of cows, and it is said to be in the material world. Now, this should not be confused with the transcendental realm of Goloka Vrindavan. So you will find such quotes also about material Goloka. That is also there, but it is not important for us in the sense it is a planet of cows, yes. But it is not the transcendental realm of Krishna. Okay, just in case you come across such a planet. Next. So, we are going to get into the details of the petals. So, I'll read the verse. This is Brahma Samhita 5.4. It says, Karnikaram Mahatyantram Shatkonam vajrakilanam shad anga shat padi sthanam prakritya purushena cha premananda mahananda rasena vastitam iyat jyoti rupena manuna kama bijena sangatam. Translation is, this world of the transcendental lotus is the realm wherein Krishna dwells. Okay, just listen to the translation and then we will elaborate on the translation. The world of the transcendental lotus is the realm where Krishna dwells. It is a hexagonal figure, the abode of the indwelling, predominated and predominating aspect of the absolute. Like a diamond, the central supporting figure of self-luminous Krishna stands as the transcendental source of all potencies. The holy name, consisting of 18 transcendental letters, is manifested in a hexagonal figure with sixfold divisions. Now, what did the verse say? That's what we're going to explain now. So, focus on the whorl of the lotus, the yellow center portion. That is what that verse spoke about. What is there in that yellow center portion? So there, if you see that yellow center portion, you will see there is an image of Radha and Krishna. Actually, Radha and Krishna reside in the middle of Goloka Vrindavan, and that's why it says that the indwelling, predominated and predominating absolute aspects of the absolute. That means predominated and predominating, that is Radha and Krishna. Both of them, they reside in this central figure, a central portion of Goloka Vrindavan. Okay, that's why you see that they have put a picture of Radha Krishna in the Goloka chart. Now, if you go there, it is not that Radha and Krishna are only standing there. Okay, they are everywhere in the Goloka Vrindavan. But this is for our understanding of the world. There is a depiction that Radha Krishna is the focus or the center of focus in the entire Goloka Vrindavan. And you see that they are standing under a particular tree, right? You see in the image, they are standing under a tree. That tree is actually the central Kalpavriksha tree from which all the other Kalpavrikshas come about, okay? That's how it is described in this particular verse. And it is also described in other places as well by our acharyas, that there is one central, I think Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives this description. There is one central Kalpavriksha tree from which all the other Kalpavrikshas emanate. And you see Radha Krishna standing under the tree. And around them, you see this Shatkonam, hexagonal. Remember we saw in the verse, it is a hexagonal figure, the abode of the predominating and the predominator. So this hexagonal figure is the star that you see. If you see the chart, focus on the center, see around the image of Radha and Krishna, there is a hexagonal figure. It is like, you call it David star in the Western world, I'm not sure. But anyway, you see this, you know, even when we put Rangoli, we put this in front of our house. So it's called as the Shad Kona image. That is it's a yantra actually. You see two inverted triangles forming a star. Okay, so this is the Shatkonam. And this is nothing but a yantra. A yantra is a diagrammatic, it is a format, a diagrammatic format of a mantra. Okay, sometimes a mantra can be represented in the form of a diagram. And such a diagram is called as a yantra. Okay, so here you will see the yantra is being drawn. That means this place is actually a mantra, but it is also diagrammatically shown as a yantra. And what mantra is it? That is the Gopal Gayatri mantra. And that's why you will see the Gopal Gayatri written there, starting with the bija clean. Okay. Now I want to repeat the mantra, you can actually see the mantra there being written inside this yantra. So when we do fire sacrifices, even in this material world, or whenever there is some program and they are constructing a yajna, altar where they do this yajna. They do it in a particular fashion. They actually draw a yantra, and they have different parts of the yantra, and they keep different ingredients in the corners of this yantra, and they have Om in the center. But there in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan, it is this particular Gopala mantra starting with the Bija Kleem. And this clean, you see in the center, in the middle of Radha Krishna image. Actually, when you draw a yantra, you don't put a picture of Radha Krishna. This is for our understanding that they have put a picture of Radha Krishna. So in the center of the image, you can see the Bija clean. Okay, this is the Gopala Gayatri mantra that is being represented in the middle of Goloka Vrindavan according to this particular verse that we read, 5.4 Brahma Samhita. Okay. It's a hexagonal figure, the indwelling place of the predominated and the predominating aspect of the absolute truth. Okay? And this place is self-luminous, and there is Krishna and Radharani. And there you also have the holy name consisting of 18 transcendental letters. And we know what this is. This is the Gopal Gayatri. This 18 transcendental letters, which we will not utter, but you can also get the meaning. Second initiated devotees, I think Kalasada Mataji also had a class on the different Gayatris and the meaning of them. So you can get it from that class or your guru or however you wish to get the details about the mantra. So that is the Gopal Gayatri, which is the 18 transcendental letters that is manifested in the hexagonal figure with sixfold divisions. So we just saw the central world, we saw Radha Krishna, and we saw the yantra that is depicted there, and we also saw the Gopal Gayatri. Okay, so that is the central part of this image of the world of the lotus. Now, you can see the picture now in the presentation as well. Okay, so this theme actually represents Radha and Krishna. That's why you see Kleem written on top of Radha Krishna image. And that is pretty much the middle of the spiritual world. Okay, that is the middle of the spiritual world. Now we'll go petal by petal. What is next? So if you see the first row of petals around the world, around the yellow portion, you will see the abodes of the Ashtasakhis. Ashtasakhis, Lalita, Vishakha, Suchitra or Chitra, Induleka, Champaklata, Rangadevi, Tungadevi, and Sudevi. So these are the Ashtasakhis, and their abodes are around this center point. Okay, that means they first come. They are given immediate importance. Now, even if you go to Bhauma Vrindavan or Gokula, you can actually see that the villages of these Ashtasakhis are somewhat placed in these directions. And the center is, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and according to Tamal Krishna Maharaj's seminar, is actually Nandagram. The center is actually accepted as Nandagram. And around that, you can see the villages of the Ashtasakhis. So it is exactly like that even in the spiritual world. Whatever we see in Bhauma Vrindavan is the same as what is there in Goloka Vrindavan and vice versa. So there is no difference between the two. So you see the residences of the Ashtasakhis around this central world. And the next petal, you will see little petals sprouting out from the Ashtasakhi petals. And it is written Rupa, Rati, Lavanga, Manjuali, Raga, you can see all that, right? So these are the Manjaris. So we have Rupa Manjari, Rati Manjari, Lavanga Manjari, Manjuali Manjari, Raga Manjari, like that. It goes on. Guna Manjari, Vilas Manjari, all of them, they are actually the Goswamis who came here, right? All the Manjaris. So Goswamis and some other Acharyas. So all these Manjaris are actually, they have their residences or they are the next important category of devotees in Goloka Vrindavan, right after the Ashtasakhis. You will see these little petals. They are small. They are small girls, so little petals are being put. And then the next level. So we see that inside the focus, the predominating mood inside the middle of Goloka Vrindavan is actually Madhuri Rasa, right? You see the Sakhis and you see the Manjaris. So, and you see Radha Krishna standing there. Okay, there is a lot of esoteric meaning that is given to the claim of the Gopal Gayatri Mantra. If you get a chance, a second initiates can, of course, you might all be knowing that it is. There is a lot of Madhurya Rasa is actually seen in the central part of the Goloka Dham. Okay? So we have the abodes of the Ashtasakis and we have the abodes of the Manjaris, and there is a lot of conjugal pastimes that is going on there. And then what happens is that in the next slide that I'm showing, this particular picture shows the division of rasas. Okay? The division of rasas is from Madhurya Rasa, Vatsalya Rasa, Sakya Rasa, Dhasya Rasa and Shanta Rasa. So we all know that these rasas exist in the spiritual world. The rasas are there in the spiritual world with Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. So the yellow portion, the center portion, the focus is Madhurya Rasa. It is shown in this picture. Then you have the next level rasa, which is Vatsalya Rasa. Then you have Sakya Rasa, which is denoted by red color. Then you have Dasya Rasa, which is denoted by violet color, and Shanta Rasa, which is denoted by blue color. So similarly, in the main picture, you will also see that after the abodes of Lalita Vishaka and then Rupa Rati and all the Manjaris, you also have a lot of pastimes of Vatsalya Rasa going on. And then you will have pastimes of Sakya Rasa going on. You see inside the petals, there are pictures actually, inside the petals. Each petal you see, there is a picture. So there is Vatsalya Rasa going on, and then there's Sakya Rasa going on, and then there is Dasya Rasa going on, like that. So it doesn't mean, again, that, oh, this region is strictly only for Madhurya Rasa. No one else should enter here. It's not like that. For that matter, Nandagram has everything. It has Vatsalya Rasa, it has Madhurya Rasa, everything. When Radharani comes to cook for Krishna and Nandabhavan, obviously there's conjugal rasa there. And there is obviously Vatsalya Rasa with Yashoda and Nanda. So all the rasas are there and it is all mixed up. But what we are trying to show in the chart, and also what the verses of Chaitanya Charitamrita talks about, the division of rasas, that's where they got this verse from. It says that the focus, or the most important, you know, we know Goloka Vrindavan focus is Madhurya Rasa, like that. So the rasas actually are shown in the form of petals. So the center, you see a lot of yellow petals. Then you will see Vatsalya Rasa. Then you will see Sakya Rasa, Dhasya Rasa, and then finally you will see Shanta Rasa. So this is the division of rasas that is also there in the... If you're seeing the entire Goloka chart in your house, you see towards the left, there is a particular lotus that has multi colors, and it is written division of rasas. Just focus on that portion so that you get an idea of what I'm talking. Okay? So that is the division of rasas inside Goloka Vrindavan. So we have seen what each of these petals mean, and with the filaments of these petals, Krishna can go anywhere and come anywhere in a matter of seconds. He can just start traveling. So this is how animate the spiritual world is, the center lotus is. And all the associates of Krishna, they all take residences here, and they have loving pastimes with Krishna in each and every petal. Everywhere, there's unlimited pastimes going on with Krishna and all of his associates. And towards the end, towards the edge of the Goloka Vrindavan petals, the pink color petals, you can also see the petals where you see the pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Navadvipa Dham is also called a Shvetadvipa. So there also, the you see in the last set of petals there, if you see, you'll see that the devotees have put the images of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also present in the spiritual world, and his spiritual Navadvipa Shvetadvipa is also present there. So you see all these pastimes that is happening inside Goloka Vrindavan. So this entire Goloka Vrindavan is made of Chintamani, and that's that is one of the reasons why, actually Chintamani means multicolor. Okay, Chintamani is supposed to reflect all colors. Gaidar Prabhu was saying so they just decided to put pink color for the chart because actually they should be showing multicolor, but then for ease of, you know, understanding, they have just put a pink color for us to see and understand. And the division of rasas, you can see how all these rasas are actually present in the spiritual world. Okay. Now, we are going to move slightly away from the center lotus. Okay, we have seen the inside world. We have seen the all the petals, the pink petals and the pinkish white petals, all that we have seen. So now we are going to move a little away and see what is that square that is surrounding this lotus. That is what we are going to see next. Okay, so I will first read this verse and then we will get into the details. You can see my screen or you can see the next slide. It says, this is verse 5.5 from Brahma Samhita. The surrounding external plane of Gokul is described in this verse. There is a mysterious quadrangular place named as Shvetadvipa surrounding the outskirts of Gokul. Shvetadvipa is divided into four parts on all sides. The abode of Vasudeva, Shankarsana, Pradyumna and Aniruddha are separately located in each of these four parts. The four divided abodes are enveloped by the fourfold human requirements such as piety, wealth, passion and liberation, as also by four Vedas which are Rig, Sama, Yajur and Atharva, which deal with the mantra and which are the basis of achievement of the fourfold mundane requirements. 10 tridents are fixed in the 10 directions, including the zenith and the nadir. The 8 directions are decorated with the 8 jewels of Mahapadma, Padma, Shankha, Makara, Kachapa, Mukunda, Kunda and Neela. There are 10 protectors, Dikpalakas of the 10 directions in the form of mantra. The associates of the hues of blue, yellow, red and white and the extraordinary potencies bearing the names of Vimala, etc. shine on all sides. This is verse 5.5 from Brahma Samhita. Okay, so now, we are going to see what this verse means and that is being depicted here in the diagram. So, you see that now you just move away from the petals of the lotus. You will see there is, the whole thing is enclosed in a square-like format. Okay, that is the quadrangular portion that is being said in this particular verse. And that quadrangular thing is also in the form of a yantra. You see the way it is depicted like a yantra in a square shape and you see the edges. It is very similar to how they make these yajnakuns, the edges of a yajnakun. So this is also in the form of a yantra. Now what is there here? What did this verse say? It said about so many things, right? So we'll get into the details of what is there. So it says, the surrounding external plane of Gokul, there is a mysterious quadrangle place known as Shvetadvipa. Now, again, this surrounding place is also called Shvetadvipa here in this verse. This is the place that is called Shvetadvipa in this particular verse, okay? But in different other places, Navadvipa is also called Shvetadvipa. Even Gokul sometimes is called Shvetadvipa because it is surrounded by milk. That's what I was trying to say previously. But verse 5.5 specifically says that this quadrangular place, the square, is actually Shvetadvipa. Okay, so I hope I'm not confusing everyone. There are different references for each place called a Shvetadvipa. But here in this particular 5.5 verse, this quadrangular enclosure is actually called a Shvetadvipa and is considered as mysterious. So let's see what's happening there. There you have these different dhams. So you have, if you see that rectangular place, the red color is marked by Mathura. And then in between, you have the light blue color, which is marked as Jagannath Puri. And the outer part, which is marked as Dwaraka, the purple color being marked as Dwaraka. That means surrounding this Gokul, okay, there are also the dhams of Mathura, Jagannath Puri and Dwaraka in the spiritual world. Now here, because the verse says quadrangular portion, that's why it is being put as a square and a yantra and all that. But some of them have pointed that even these dhams can be represented by lotuses. Okay, they are also dhams. They are also like lotus-like dhams. But here, because the verse talks about a quadrangular portion, we are putting a square there. And there we see the dham of Mathura, Jagannath Puri and Dwarka in the spiritual world. Even these dhams are there in the spiritual world. And there, not only do you see these dhams, but you also see the residence place of the first Chaturvyuha. So that's why you see in the picture or the slide that I'm showing, you see in that square region, you see Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Shankarsana and Vasudeva located there in four directions. So that is the four divisions of the quadrangular place. You can see Pradyumna, picture of Pradyumna. You can see Sri Pradyumna, Sri Aniruddha, Sri Vasudeva. You can see all of them. All of them being situated on the four sides. Their abodes are also there in the region of Mathura, Jagannath Puri and Dwarka. So the abodes of the 400 forms of the first Chaturvyuha is also present there. That is what the verse says. And other than that, the verse also spoke about some Veda. It also spoke about the Purusharthas, which is Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. So you see that this entire yantra is surrounded by the four Vedas. You see on the right, you can see Rig Veda being positioned. You can see Sama Veda on the left side. And then you can see Atharva Veda. And you can see Yajur Veda. So all these Vedas are there in their personified forms and in their original forms. Okay, so they are all personifications. These four Vedas are being situated there. And they are personified forms. And they are the original source of the expansions of the Vedas in the other realms and the expansion of the Vedas that we have in this material world. Okay, everything is originating from there. They are all prototypes. Everything is coming from there. So we have the Vedas surrounding this plane, this quadrangular plane. You have the four Vedas. And you also have the four Purusharthas, which is Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. One may ask, what is Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha doing there? You just zoom the picture, you can see. Near Sama Veda, it is written Kama. Near Rig Veda, it is written Dharma, like that. On four directions, you have the four Purusharthas. So one may ask, what are the Purusharthas doing there? Because that is something you need in this material world, right? Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. But what is it doing there in the spiritual world? It is in its uncontaminated form and everything is being used in the service of Krishna. The dharma of all the cowherd associates of Krishna is to give pleasure to Krishna. That is their ultimate dharma. What is their desire? To give pleasure to Krishna, take Krishna's association. What is the benefit? They are not using the Chintamani for making money there, because there is no need of anything. Everything is in surplus. Again, everything is being used there in the service of Krishna. And moksha? Moksha is an inherent part of Goloka Vrindavan. Everyone is happy, everyone is liberated. So dharma, artha, kama, moksha in the perfected state is there in Goloka Vrindavan. And from there, it actually expands into the other realms of the spiritual world. And from there, it comes down to the material universe as the four purusharthas. Okay? So everything you see in the periphery is actually present in the spiritual world. Then, from there, you can also see, I wanted to give these references for Dwarka, Mathura and Gokul. So we saw that the quadrangular place has Mathura, Jagannath and Dwarka Puri. So where does this reference come from? It comes from Chaitanya Charitamrita 5.16. This is also there in the Goloka chart. Go to the left end of the Goloka chart. You will see a topic name called as Division of Goloka, Krishna Loka. And then you will see the mention of Dwarka, Mathura and Gokul. You will also see the mention of Jagannath Puri and Navadvip. I have put that slide now in the broadcasting. You can see. So it says Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela 5.16. The highest region of that spiritual sky in the spiritual planet is called as Krishna Loka, and it has three divisions, namely Dwarka, Mathura and Gokul. So the Gokul is actually the petals, and around that you see the dhams of Dwarka and Mathura. Not only is Dwarka and Mathura there, but you also have Jagannath Puri dham. So why is Jagannath Puri sandwiched between Dwarka and Mathura? Is because The rasa in Jagannath Puri is actually a sandwich rasa, right? Because it is actually Krishna of Dwaraka, but the gopis are feeling separation and they want to take Krishna back to their place. So it is sandwiched between Dwaraka and Mathura because the mood is like that. It is being sandwiched there. So in Brihat Bhagavatamrita 3.5.2.9-2.10 it says, but please hear from me this one piece of advice. Not far from here, not far from Dwaraka, lies the Lord's holy abode known as Sri Purushottam Kshetra. Purushottam Kshetra is often identified with Jagannath Puri, which you visited before on earth. There in the company of Subhadra and Balarama, Lord Purushottama enjoys the same sports he enacted at Govardhana and in Vrindavan forest and on the shores of Yamuna. So Krishna tries to give a similar pleasure to the devotees there in the spiritual Jagannath Puri Dham. Okay. Then Brahma Samhita 5.5 purport. Hence, Srila Thakur Vrindavana, the manifest Vyas of Chaitanya Leela, has described the village of Navadvipa as bearing the name of Shvetadvipa. In the Shvetadvipa, the concluding pastimes of Gokul exist eternally as the pastimes of Navadvipa. Hence, the region of the Navadvipa, Vraja, and the realm of Goloka are one and the same indivisible entity. The difference only lies in the manifestations of the infinite varieties of sentiments corresponding to the diverse nature of their devotional love. So this is about Navadvipa Dham, and Navadvipa Dham is also present in the spiritual world, and it is also called a Shvetadvipa often. So we have all these dhams. We have Gokula, we have, Gokula is denoted by pink color. We have Mathura denoted by red color. We have Dwaraka denoted by purple color. We have Jagannath Puri denoted by light blue color. And we have Navadvipa, which is whitish. So you have all these dhams present inside the spiritual world, inside the first topmost planet, which is Goloka Vrindavan. Everything is actually Goloka Vrindavan. But these are towards the extensions. You know, these are all extension areas, Mathura, Dwaraka, all of that. But everything is Goloka Vrindavan. So that is that topmost planet. Now, in some places, especially I think in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that, you know, Goloka Vrindavan is so vast, so big, that why could...
Hare Krishna Mataji, we cannot hear you.
I think so.
I'm there. I don't know why suddenly there was a break, but I'm here. So, this whole Goloka Vrindavan is so vast and it is so big that the entire Vaikuntha Dham actually looks like a small petal. Okay, this was there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. But however, in this Goloka chart, they have given a separate lotus for Vaikuntha Dham. Reason is because, again, there are other references like Padma Purana, and there is references from Vagu Bhagavatamrita saying that even Vaikuntha actually is a lotus. It is represented in a lotus-like form. So we will go to Vaikuntha later. We are just doing Goloka Vrindavan today because it's already 9:10. Oh, okay. I'm just going to wind up. I just finished the last part, the 10 tridents. That was the last part of the verse that we read. So around this place, you also see 10 tridents. So you will see tridents at least in 4 directions here, but actually they are there in 10 directions. So northeast, southwest, northeast, northwest, southeast, southwest. That becomes 8 directions. And then one going up and one going down. That cannot be shown in a 2D picture. You need a 3D image for that. Okay. So that's why they have not shown the zenith and the nadir. They have not shown that. So totally, there are 10 trishuls that are pointing, right, in different directions. So what are these trishuls doing there? They are actually giving protection to the entire Goloka Dham. You see that the trishul are towards the edges, right? So this trishul, it gives protection to the entire Dham, and it prevents people from Brahma Jyoti trying to come to the spiritual world. And it also prevents people who have other desires. Like sometimes, see, Goloka Vrindavan, we don't have Aishwarya, right? So sometimes people from Vaikuntha who may still be attracted to awe and majesty would like to try to come to Goloka Vrindavan, but then unless you follow in the footsteps of the Gokulvasis, in the footsteps of the Brajavasis, you really cannot get in. So these are all like protection, you know. It protects the entire dham from unnecessary entry and confusion. So that's why these trishuls are there, and you also see mantras written there. These are also protective mantras that are given. Okay, near the trishul, you can see the mantras being written as it was mentioned in verse 5.5. That was a huge verse that I read. So there, it talks about the periphery of Goloka Vrindavan. And you also see jewels. Okay, what are these jewels? This Padmani, Lashanka, all these jewels are also, again, these are also used for protection only. They prevent unnecessary entry. They kind of, if someone is more attracted to the Aishwarya Bhav, it kind of, it's like they see these jewels and they get diverted, something like that, you know. So again, these jewels are present in their personified forms, and they guard the entire Goloka Vrindavan Dham. So that completes our first part, okay? Another thing about these jewels is about, these jewels are also personification of different siddhis. So it prevents people with attachments to Aishwarya or attachments to any kind of siddhi. So when they see these jewels, they get diverted and they don't enter the Goloka Vrindavan part. So Goloka Vrindavan, inside Goloka Vrindavan, it is only unalloyed devotion, rasa with Krishna, without any mix of, there is no mix of jnana or karma and other things. Also, there is no mix of awe and reverence inside the Gokul part. So we'll stop here because that's what the top part of the lotus speaks about. And if we have missed anything, we'll come back to it in our next class. And in the next class, we will go ahead with the blue lotus, which is Vaikuntha, which is kind of complicated. Okay. Now, if you have any questions, comments, corrections, go ahead. And if you need anything else, any other help, also let me know. And feel free to correct me if I've made any mistakes. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat pranam all to Srila Prabhupada. Very, very wonderful presentation. Mataji, I just wanted to know that, actually I missed that part, that why we called Goloka Vrindavan as a Shweta Deep.
Tell me, Mataji.
Yeah, I missed that part, that why we call
Okay, because Shweta Dweep is because of the ocean of milk. But what kind of milk it is? It is the milk coming from the unlimited Surabhi cows in the spiritual world. But there are other places which are also mentioned as Shweta Dweep, like the Shirodakshayi Vishnu. He also lies on Shweta Dweep, right? Within this material world. We'll go to the material world in the fourth class or something. I'll tell you what is there in the material world. There, Shiro the Kashyai Vishnu within each universe, who is actually the super soul within all living entities, he lies in Shiv Sagar, right? The ocean of milk. That ocean of milk is created by Vishnu himself. That is not the same ocean that is seen in the spiritual world. Because the milk is white, it is Shweta, it is white in color, it is called a Shweta Dweep. If you're asking the etymology, why it is Shweta Dweep, that is the reason.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mataji. And one more thing, did you describe about Brahma Jyoti around the Goloka Vrindavan?
No. That's a good question you're asking. Brahma Jyoti is also present around Goloka Vrindavan. And these trishuls, they prevent these unnecessary people from entering from the Brahma Jyoti as well. See, everything is like lotuses, okay, suspended there. You can just understand that Goloka Vrindavan is like a lotus suspended in milk. Okay. This Brahma Jyoti part, details of this description we will do after we understand Vaikuntha. After we understand the blue lotus, we'll get into the details of the description of Brahma Jyoti.
Okay. Yeah, thank you so much, Mataji, for a wonderful class. So if there anyone has any question or comment, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna,
please. Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Mataji.
Go ahead, Mataji, go ahead.
No, please go ahead, Paneshwari Mataji, please.
I just had a couple questions. Number one, so when you were explaining about how these yantras are the pictorial representation of the mantras, so when we're using these particular yantras or these particular designs, because we're using them in our rangoli, in our in our doorways. So I'm just wondering how it seems. Obviously, there's some kind of it seems like it's a way of representing the mantra in front of our house for protection or whatever the case may be. It's not something that's, you know, do you have any other background or information about exactly that the information about that? That's one question. Go ahead, Anthony.
So as you said, yes, it's actually most of these rangoli designs that we come about is actually depiction of different yantras that is seen, most of them, most of them. You have many of them, they're just not decorative stuff. They also mean invoking auspiciousness, definitely, yes, that is true. But I don't know what else question you had about it. Did you mean, like, is it okay to put it? Is that the
question? I'm just wondering, like, what's the under... Yeah, I guess that's it. Because it'd be... because it is there, or maybe... Or is that a way of putting it there without being... is that a way of using it, using the mantra without... you know, it's not written out, so nobody can really see it. It's only you know what I mean. It's how do I say it? It's kind of hidden. But it's right. It's kind of hidden, but it's still the protective power is still there.
Yes.
And because I know that a lot of times when they're doing buildings or when you're in some houses, people have different yantras which they put on different corners of their house for protection and isn't it? So I'm just thinking like that. It's a way of using a protective, almost like a protective, protective mother. I can't think of a right word for it, but something like a protective.
Yeah, auspiciousness. You can just say it invokes auspiciousness.
Right, around there. So I'm just curious. That also, another question about these jewels that they have on there. Do they have anything to do with the Navaratna? I was just curious.
Because jewels, you will see these jewels being mentioned in different scriptures. Like, for example, Kubera, he owns these jewels, and from him, actually, we get all the wealth. So definitely, it can also be extended as a part of the Navaratna. Do you know the names? Yeah, because you see Kaccha, Padma, you can see them, you know, you can see a pearl, you can see a diamond, you can see a ruby, you can see sapphire.
Yeah, that's why when I see an emerald, I'm seeing emerald and stuff. So I'm just wondering, I wonder if there's any correlations to Navaratna. It's very interesting. Go ahead.
Look it up, actually. You're right. These jewels here in Goloka Vrindavan in their original forms, and they could be the Navaratnas that we are using today. So we can actually check that out, the original names and the names that is used here, whether it correlates with,
You're just wondering about how, as you say, perverted reflection, all those things are apparent in the spiritual world, present in the spiritual world, and they also come down to the material world and to be used or abused, as the case may be. Okay, thank you, Mataji, that's it.
Yeah, so one more thing I wanted to say is about the associates. I think I missed that. The associates of the hues of blue, yellow, red, and white, and extraordinary potencies shine on all sides. So 5.5 words, that's what I was explaining towards the end. They are associates in different colors. These are actually different acharyas have given us different insights. One acharya says that these are actually the original yuga avatars, because the yuga avatars are in different colors. The original yuga avatars have their residences in this area in Goloka Vrindavan, and hence they are named. They are seen in different colors. Hues of blue, yellow, white, and all these associates are there. That is one understanding. The other understanding that was actually given by this understanding, I think, is there in the purport of the Brahma Samhita. The other understanding is that the associates in Goloka Vrindavan, that is, you know, the cowherd boys or different associates of Krishna, they are also seen in different colors. So that is one understanding. And Yeah, that's it, pretty much. I heard two understandings. One, both from Kamal Krishna Maharaj's lectures, that these associates mean these things. These could be different reasons why these associates are seen in different colors, and it could also be the yuga avatars. I think I'm missing one more thing that he said. But anyway, for now, you can just remember.
Mataji, yeah. Which one are you referring to there? What are you referring to there? What associates are in the picture? What are you pointing to?
It's actually not there in the picture, but in the
Okay.
5.5. Yeah, it just says, after it talks about the gems that are surrounding, the eight directions are decorated with eight jewels, right? It says. And then you have the Dikpalakas, and then you have the associates of blue, yellow, white.
I see.
Talks about potencies that we will see when we do the Vaikuntha section, because that's where the potencies of Vimala and others come. Okay.
Got it. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasini, Mataji. Dhanvat Pranam. Thank you very much for this static class, Mataji. I have no words to glorify this class. Thank you very much for presenting this. Mataji, I have two questions. One is, in the center, we have Radha Krishna, and as the whorls of the lotus petals, we move farther away from the center. So the first is the Ashtasakhis, and then the Manjaris, and then the different rasas, Vatsalya, followed by Sakya, Dasya. So Shantaras is like far away. So I am kind of surprised with the Shweta Dvaipa of Lord Chaitanya is beyond that Shanta Rasa. So, that kind of makes me think that, I don't know, my understanding was, this is very wrong, that it was a separate, a planet, how Goloka is an area, so Shweta Dvaipa is another area of Lord Chaitanya. But can you
explain
to me, how the relevance of it in terms of it being beyond the Shanta Rasa and being that far away from Madhurya Rasa, if that makes sense, my question.
Okay, actually, Mataji, so it's very difficult to put things in a chart. That is true, what you said. Now, Deep Dham is actually a separate Dham. It is a Dham. It is a spiritual realm, and it has nothing to, though it is indicated as the out peripheral petal, okay, it's actually, that's what they're trying to say. That is, I think there was a verse, again from Brahma Samhita, that was trying to tell us that these pastimes in Navadvip, they are extending, I'll read that verse, Brahma Samhita 5.5 purport. Hence, Srila Thakur Vrindavan, the manifest Vyasa of Chaitanya Leela, has described the village of Navadvip as bearing the name of Shvetadvip. In the Shvetadvipa, the controlling portions of the pastimes of Gokul exist eternally as the pastimes of Navadvip. So that's why they have put it as a final petal. It doesn't mean that the rasa seen in the Navadvip Dham is actually lower than Shankara. No. It's not that. But I think, when you put it in a chart, it becomes complicated for them to show these little things. So that's why he put it as a final petal. But it means that Navadvip is also seen in Gokul. It is seen as the finer concluding pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, according to that verse. Is that
okay, Mataji?
Okay, Mataji?
Sorry, Mataji.
But that question was good. Anyone would get confused. Even I was confused initially. You're right. Yeah.
So, Mataji, there is this Shvetadvip, which is like the periphery of Goloka, and there is a separate Shvetadvip, Navadvip Dham of Sri Chaitanya?
You can, Mataji, periphery, you can say it's a complete planet by itself or a complete abode by itself.
Okay.
So each of these petals are separate abodes also where pastimes are happening.
Then I'll get confused, Mataji. So is it it is separate, like Goloka, it is one abode, right? And another abode, Navadvip Dham Shvetadvip, and part of that Shvetadvip is also like on the periphery of this, this diagram here from Mataji.
Yes, you can take it like that, yes. It is also a periphery, you can say, of this section of Goloka Vrindavan. It's a separate Dham. It lies in the periphery of the section of Goloka. Yes, you can take it like that, yeah. It makes sense.
Okay, Okay, Mataji. Yeah. So there is still a separate Shweta Dvipa,
yes,
which is eternally existing in all its pastimes.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
Okay, Mataji. Yes, thank you very much. And my other question is, like, in the spiritual world, in Golok, Vrindavan, let's say, like, are we, like, when we go there, like, do we have families there? Like, do we have mother, father over there? Do we have brothers, sisters there? Do we grow up over there? Like, are we born children and then we grow up? Do we cook? Do we feel hungry? Or that doesn't exist there?
Wow, that's a lot of questions. Yes, as far as I have heard, I can just repeat and others can correct me if I'm saying something wrong. Yes, in Goloka Vrindavan, all the relatives, everyone is there. We cook, we play, we do everything. Everything exists. And when they say, oh, there is no hunger or thirst in the spiritual world, it means material hunger and material thirst. But if you feel like eating something, it is also provided, you know, just like for exchange of love and rasa. If Krishna wants to take lunch, like for example, even in the spiritual world, every afternoon, he wants to take lunch with his friends. So all this is there. It is there. You can get everything. But the material world is a perverted reflection. Here there are other problems. There it is more for enjoyment. It is all for rasa. It is all for pastimes. It's there, but it is not there in the sense of hunger that we feel here. Okay? And our cooking also, it is more for enjoyment and pleasure. It is not like, oh, I'm feeling hungry, I have to feed my family, or I have to do it as a duty. Probably we'll figure it out when we go there. Yeah.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dhanyavaad.
Go ahead, Anjana Gopika Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Prithvi Lakshmi Mataji, very, very nice, wonderful class, explanations about Goloka chart. And the last sentence that you said, Prabhupada, the devotees also ask Prabhupada, and Prabhupada says, yes, you can, when you go there, you will know.
Yeah. Yes, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you. Thank you for your association.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prithvi Vilasa, thank you so much.
I should thank you for, I just wanted to, I also said it at the beginning of the class, and I also want to tell now, I'm very thankful to Kesira Sundari Mataji for bringing this up, and she said we should do this discussion on the conference, and hence we are here. So thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji, for bringing out such a beautiful presentation and explaining it so beautifully. So first, I would just like to make a small comment on the need for Vasputa, that whether there is hunger, there is thirst, there is, we grow old, or how it does it work. Yes, so fine answer is, as Prabhupada says, that when you go there, you're there. But still, since we are inquisitive about what's going on in Goloka Vrindavan, it is heard that as said, hunger first, and cooking, all this is there, but it's only for the pleasure. It's not that we materially feel hungry, so we have to cook, but it's only for the pleasure of the divine couple that, all these things happen. But yes, the time doesn't have any role in, over there. Mm. So the part of growing old and dying, that portion is definitely not there. Because the life there, the stagnant, as eternal, you are in the eternal position, so you will be there holding that position. So it's not that you'll grow old or eventually, that doesn't happen. And one more question I have regarding the chart you have sent. You said the Shweta Deepa part, so... this Mathura, Mathura, Jagannath Puri and Dwarka, they are basically part of Shweta Deepa, or they are again on the boundary after that Shweta Deepa?
It depends on what we are trying to conceive. This part I wouldn't give a clear answer, because it depends on what we are trying to conceive. So it says, the verse itself says the quadrangular part is Shweta Dvipa. So sometimes the reason why I'm bringing this up is that sometimes this entire dham is called Shweta Dvipa, which also includes Dwaraka, Jagannath Puri, Mathura, everything. But again, Navadvip is also separately called a Shweta Dvipa. Gokul is also separately called a Shweta Dvipa in some places. Yeah. But yes, in that, yeah. So in this part, it's kind of unclear, or maybe I don't know how to express it. See, in this verse 5.5, it says, there is a mysterious quadrangular place named Shweta Dvipa surrounding the outskirts of Gokula, and Shweta Dvipa is divided into four parts on all sides. There you have Vasudeva, Shankarsana, Aniruddha, Pradyumna located in these four parts. So which means that the verse also says that Mathura, Dwaraka are also called as Shweta Dvipa.
That makes sense.
Right? Yeah. And also Prabhu said one more thing, that, you know, for us, we are trying to put it in a quadrangular, chart, okay? But actually, one Maharaj had pointed out that, who was there in the audience, he was pointing out that even these can be represented as lotuses, separate lotuses floating, on the milk. Yeah.
Thank you, Madhuri. And another question, that the four sides is like Shri Vasudeva, Pradyumna, Sankarshan, Aniruddha. And to that we have Rig Veda, Dharma. So do we understand that all these are correlated, like for example, Rig Veda, Dharma and Shri Vasudeva? So is Vasudeva deity of Rig Veda, which deals in Dharma? Is that how we can take it?
I haven't thought I didn't hear anything like that, but...
Atharva Veda deals in Moksha, the presiding deity is Sri Aniruddha.
I haven't heard that, but you have a very valid point. We can check it out. I don't know. Answer is I don't know. Mm-hmm. But we can actually figure it out. We can try to see if there is any correlation like that. Prabhu also didn't mention any correlation like that, or I didn't find any words in Tamal Krishna Maharaj's Brahma Samhita talking about it, or any reference like that. Mm-hmm. But we can still find out. Yeah, that's a good thing to think about. Yeah.
Okay, Mataji. And my third thing is that about, as Pani Shri Mataji was referring, that these jewels would be the Navratna.
Navratna
is basically the nine, right? But here it's
nine, but eight. Here it's only eight. Yeah.
And secondly, I was also thinking that, I don't know, I may be wrong, but this Navratna is related to something of this material world.
Yeah. Navratna is definitely material. Navagrahas, they are to do with the Navagrahas.
Right.
So it may not even be the original source or something, because you're saying there are eight, right? The verse also said it is eight, it is not nine. So it may not be,
I was just thinking about, you said there were 10 directions you have up and down.
Mm.
Although they aren't depicted, I'm wondering if they had jewels. But yes, but again, that's 10 versus 9. They're still there. But still there is that discrepancy. Thank you.
Thank you.
And the last line of Brahma Samhita, 5.5, it says, the skits of the hues of blue, yellow, red, and white are the extraordinary potential, bearing the names of Vimala, etc. So Vimala is, again, the same name that we find in Jagannath Puri, the Vimala Devi, or it's something different?
Yes. So this part we will see when we get into the Vaikuntha chart, because there, the different expansions of Lakshmis, when we talk about the expansion of Lakshmis, we will see the energies of the Lord. So that's when these Vimala, Neela, all these potencies will be seen. And yes, you're right, to an extent, these extensions are also seen, like Vimala Devi is also I mean, that we see in Jagannath Puri is also one of the energies of the Lord, and she can be related to this Vimala. That is right, yes. But we will see that in detail when we go to the blue chart.
Hare Krishna, Janasana.
Yeah. Amma. Yeah. Are you done, Mataji?
Yeah. Thank you so much, Mataji. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. So,
yeah. Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna,
Janasana. Hare Krishna, Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances.
Same from my side as well. I just have one small question. The dhams are located in the Golok Vrindavan sphere of the Golok chart. What about dhams like Rameshram and Badrinath?
Very nice. So I'll just mute you for a second and I'll get back to you. Okay, I'll just mute you and then I'll unmute you. You muted yourself. Okay, very nice. Okay, so the dhams like Rameshwaram and other dhams, we will see that in the blue section, that is the next part of the chart, which is actually Vaikuntha, which we will be, this was focus on Goloka, okay? This particular section that we discussed today was just part one, and we were just focusing on Goloka Vrindavan, just Krishna and his pastimes. But yes, you're right, all the dhams like, you know, Sri Rangam or Rameshwaram, all these are there in the spiritual world, and you will see them in the blue lotus when we do part two. Okay, Mataji?
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It was a wonderful lecture from your end. Thank you.
Hare Thank Krishna. You so much, Mataji. All glories to all the devotees who came up with the seminars and the charts. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Koti koti dandavat pranam to your seva. Shri Gaulok Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Shrimati Radharani Lord Krishna ki jai. Mataji, you take us. We are not qualified. Really, we are not qualified, but you take us in a dham, Mataji, and you take us all the leelas, Mataji. Thank you very much for your association. Dhanwat pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki jai ho, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Rondai Gopika, Mataji. Thank you so much for your sweet words of encouragement. Thank you for blessing us with your association. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very wonderful presentation, Mataji. Very nice details you gave. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Shyama Gauri Mataji. Thank you so much for your association. Thank you so much for your encouragement. Hare Krishna.
So, is there any other questions and comments for Mataji? No. Thank you all very much for attending this class. And let us pay our obeisances to all the Vaishnavas and Mataji. Vancha Kalpatru Bhyasha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patita Nam Pavane Bhyo Vaishna Vibhyo Namo 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 Koti Vaishna Koti Vaishna Thank you so much, Preeti Vilasini Mataji.
Thank you so much, Ishwari Kumari Mataji.